Welcome to Plans Are Booked, a podcast for every reader. I'm Molly Geller.
I'm Stephanie Blackburn.
And I'm Caitlin Madison. Welcome to chapter 24, which, if I did the math correctly, that's 6 months of episodes, right?
Oh, wait. Math is not my strong
suit. Six times four is 24, so that's 6 months of episodes.
But no. Really?
Well, we did have a double up in our first debut. So yeah, we're almost there. Yeah, we're almost there.
All right, yeah. Wow, you really made me doubt my math. The way she looked at me, I was like, that is how many weeks are in a month typically? Four.
This is like an existential question, but how do you picture the months of the year? Because that is why I have trouble with 6 month increments. Like, do you picture it linear? Okay.
Stephanie's doing
motions. I'm scowling at Steph. Are you on drugs? What's happening?
Stephanie's doing hand motions right now.
Yeah, she's like got a bell curve graph going for her 6 month signal. And I'm like, I don't get it.
Roller coaster going up the
The summer for me is like low, and then the fall is when it starts to get high, and then winter is the top. That's how in my mind I picture the months of the year. Sort of like a roller coaster.
No. I don't have whatever that is. I don't have a vision or a shape or a mood or anything for intervals of time. Do you, Molly?
So everything to me is the distance from my birthday. So like, I know my birthday is September 29th, 6 months from that is March 29th. So like, if someone says to me like, oh, I was born in October, I'm like, oh, your half birthday's in April. Cause everything is like, I just ratchet it.
Actually, I do that, but I didn't realize I did that until Molly said that out loud.
And our half birthdays are our opposite months.
Opposites. Yep. And I'm a loser. And I'm like, well, Kyle Chandler's birthday is my half birthday, which is September 17th. Yeah, listen, there's all sorts of weird things that you can do with time. Mine is not visual. Steph's is. I'm sorry that 6 times 4 = 24 did not work for your peak and valley visual that you have going on. She was like, no, it can't be 6 months because it's not how I picture it. Oh, that was epic. That was great. You should just start every episode now with like a weird cold open that just really like sends the episode in a certain direction, because the last one was aphantasia and we spent 20 minutes on it. So,
well, that was book related.
Yeah. People just don't know what they're getting themselves into when they turn this on. So 24 episodes, we have accomplished a lot, I feel like. And this weekend we kind of did like a little New England bebopping, if you will.
Like a treat. Like we were treating ourselves to a little excursion involving.
We saw the spring weather. I feel like the last week, 6 of the days had rained. It was like 50s and sunny the day before Easter. And we all went to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And Molly had already been in PVD.
I had a very like all over the map New England weekend. I started in Providence. I met two of my Wheaton College besties. And we used to go to Providence all the time from Wheaton because it's only like, depending on how you hit the lights, like 15 to 20 minutes. And at the time, the Providence Place Mall was honestly like the big attraction. We like ate dinner at Fire and Ice, or we would go shopping there for dresses for like, we had this fall formal that was called the Boston Bash. And like, I got my dress there. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh, I do not want to go to the Providence Place Mall. So instead of orienting our weekend around the mall, we decided to check out a bunch of places that either none of us had been before or just one of us had been before. So we stayed at the Aloft Hotel downtown, which was super nice. I've actually stayed in an Aloft here in Boston in the Seaport with Scout, actually, my pub. And the hotel was great. I feel the need to share with all of our listeners that this hotel has dry bar products in the shower and also the yellow dry bar hair dryer. Dry bar is like one of my happy places on earth. It just like brings me an incredible amount of joy, and I'd never seen it in a hotel before. So I was like, okay, automatic seal of approval for this place. We went to a cocktail bar called the Eddie, which was amazing. They had super creative drinks. Very fun spot. We went to a pizza place called Figadini that is famous for its burrata pizza, which is exactly as it sounds, a giant pizza with a huge burrata ball in the center. I was thrilled. And they give you scissors to cut your pizza, which is just like very fun. Do it yourself at the table. And the next day we went to a donut place, and then we went out to brunch at this place called Rogue Island. It was one of those brunch menus where you want literally everything. Like, you want all the Eggs Benedicts, you want all the special French toast. They had a thin mint French toast, which I couldn't convince anybody to have with me.
Wait, you said you did or you didn't?
No, we didn't have it because...
What?
So we wound up doing this avocado toast to share. And then two of us got huevos rancheros, and one friend got this sandwich called The Bear, named for the show. And then we were so full, and we also had cocktails, and I was like, I might have to drive back here for the thin mint French toast.
Yeah, well, we're going.
So Providence, I really hadn't spent a ton of time there since the college years, so I was like delighted. And then we walked through a beautiful park, and there's so much cool art because RISD is there, and I just feel like I don't give it enough credit for its cool factor.
Well, our friend Tebow lives there, so it had already earned points in my mind, but I have not spent any significant time there in the last like 12 years probably. So I'm glad to know that it's back in biz and that we should. Back in biz, I say like it was never in biz, but you know what I mean.
More back hip. On the radar.
It's more hip, it's on the radar, and we should check it out. And then Molly pivoted and went from PVD to Portsmouth, picked Steph up along the way, or Steph picked up her. I was already there with a friend from Wheaton, and we were already out and about shopping a little bit in the lovely weather, and then Molly and Steph met up with us. We went to LaRue, which is an awesome kitchen store. We went to two bookstores that were both like small and charming in different ways, and then we ate an epic meal, which I was famished when we got there, and it like it happened all at once. Like, I knew, I was like, I had like Cheez-Its for breakfast in the car and like some cheese and crackers when I got to Elisa's, and all of a sudden it was like 4:30 and I was like, I've had two mimosas and like no food today, and like, what am I doing with my life? So by the time we got to the restaurant, I was like ready for a delicious meal, and we went to Street. Amazing Korean food. Everybody got something that I think they liked. We got these awesome like togarashi fries that had all sorts of deliciousness on them, and it was a lovely day. It really was.
As we were walking around downtown Portsmouth, I think I said to like each of you and our friend Elise at different moments, like, I forgot how fun it is here. Like, even though every time I've gone, I've always loved it. I was in Portsmouth also the previous Saturday, but it was pouring rain, and I just went like right into the library restaurant and right back out. But walking around, I was like, yes, I love this town. Like, I love all these shops. I love that you can just like get an ice cream and walk around, or get an iced tea and walk around. Like, it's just so...
And dogs are allowed everywhere too.
Totally.
It looks like it belongs in a rom-com. Mm-hmm. It's like that kind of setting.
I feel like Stars Hollow like might have been modeled mm-hmm. after Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I know it's supposed to be Connecticut and whatever, but like...
It has a very similar vibe, I think. And it feels like there's a ton to do, but it still feels like a small town. And you also get the benefit that like it's coastal, so you kind of get the water view. It's just a fabulous place.
And the surf shops and all the delights that come with that. It's a fun place. And it felt like a spring day, and it was just very, very enjoyable. Steph is back at it with the house.
I apologize. I am so tired that someone on my Instagram messaged me overnight, and I love her for worrying. She was like, I think you need your thyroid checked. I'm worried about you. And I was like, I appreciate that, but it's just the stress.
Wait, why?
Because I had posted about being cold all the time and always being tired.
Got it.
But I am going in and out of the house constantly.
But she didn't equate that to like you're working at a house, like you're doing construction.
No. I think some people are just like in tune with medical issues. And so she was like, warning sign.
Okay. That makes more sense, because I was like, am I a bad friend? Like, should I be more worried about Steph being cold and tired?
Meanwhile, when she posted, like, I'm cold and this and that, I did not think, oh, because she's going in and out from outside. I thought, I'm always cold because I'm a vegetarian and I have low iron. And I was like, yeah, of course she's a vegetarian. Of course she's always cold.
Well, we also have the temp set at 59 because my dad is cheap and doesn't want to pay for oil. So we just wear our jackets inside while we're working on the house.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like I'm constantly like harping on the negative stuff that's happening. The big drama this week is that I didn't pay attention when I ordered the appliances and I did not purchase a counter depth fridge. I was mostly focused on the width of it. And so it arrived. It does not fit. It has to go back. I had to order a new one. You know, setback after setback after setback.
Had to call people, which is the worst part of all of that. I hate calling people.
Well, and the actual worst part is that I don't know what kind of headset the person on the other end of the phone used, but it was as if their mouth was pressed against the phone, and I felt like my mother. I kept being like, "I'm so sorry, I can't hear you. Can you say that again?" But it was just so muffled.
Did it sound really far away? That happens to me sometimes, too. No,
it sounded like they're, you know.
Sometimes I'm like, I feel bad, but like when I call insurance companies, like sometimes they'll sound like they're on another planet and they're like, no. And I'm like, I can't hear. And I'm like trying to give them like subscriber ID numbers and like important information. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, I can't hear anything. And like a couple of times I've had to say, like, it sounds like you're really far away. And all of a sudden they click something and it's like perfect sounding. And I'm realizing that people are in their homes and they're probably like trying to make a sandwich and they've got it on speaker, like, and they're standing 10 feet away. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I got you. Don't worry about it. And like click one button. And I'm like, God, these work from home people are ridiculous sometimes.
I think for me, my dad has a hearing aid. Our helper who just started, he's normally with us on most houses, but he just started last week with us. He also has a hearing aid. My mother has a hearing aid. And so anytime I say, I'm so sorry, can you repeat yourself? I feel like am I 60 already and I can't hear the person on the other end?
At least your parents wear their hearing aids. My mom dropped like $5,000 on them and doesn't put them in. And then when she goes, what? Can you say that again? What? I just look at her and I'm like, are you wearing your hearing aids? And she's like, whatever. And we went out to a hockey game with some of her friends who do wear their hearing aids. And they heard me scolding her. And they were like, Joyce, what was even the point of buying those? And I'm like, thank you. So now I have more people on my team, which is amazing. But no, you can hear fine. You just, the telephone is not, it's not good. But did you get it resolved?
Yes. The new fridge, though, is not coming for another 2+ weeks, which means that like the last house, we're going to have to list this one without a fridge and just our realtor will have to say before closing, it will actually be here. But that upsets me because obviously then we're not putting our absolute best foot forward for first impressions.
Okay. So I will tell you today, and I know you're going to be like, I don't want to do this, but I will tell you today, when I was looking for houses to go to open houses this weekend, there was one where the realtor had like photoshopped a fire pit and like chairs and all this outdoor stuff, like in the outdoor space. Mm-hmm. So why can't you just Photoshop a refrigerator in the spot it's supposed to be? I know in person that people will see it's not there. Oh, yeah. Okay. But you can make it look better in the photos, right?
Yeah. I'm not worried about the photos. It's just that you only get one chance at a first impression.
Right.
So I'm just praying that everything else is a wow factor. And they're like, okay, there will one day be a fridge. But also, me personally, I'd want to know what kind of fridge I was getting into.
Oh, you know? See, that's like probably not something I pay attention to. That wouldn't be, I'd be like, there's an island in this kitchen. And like, that's what I'm
focused
on. There's
a peninsula. Yeah. I mean, hopefully the waterfall peninsula distracts from everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. A waterfall peninsula.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Waterfall's when the countertop goes down to the floor. That's what that is.
Oh.
Yeah. The countertop. Like a waterfall. In this flip are pretty bougie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I saw the light fixtures for the bedroom. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to get, I have no vision is my issue. So when everything is empty, I'm like, ugh. And like growing, I lived in like six different houses growing up. So like I've gone to see a lot of houses in my day. And I picked the two houses that I lived that my mom bought when my parents got divorced. I picked both of them. One of them, when we went down the driveway, I was like, oh, we'll be living here. And we had probably seen like 70 houses. I was like, this is the one. And my mom like still talks about it. But I think that based on just the light fixtures, I had this like aha moment where I was like, okay, I'm starting to see like the shape of this and what this is going to look like. And
a touch of gold.
Yeah, it's just really nice already. It's just really
today,
nice.
Today, I said to Steph, I hope to someday be rich enough to have light fixtures like that. And you said?
Wayfair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to be completely honest, you can spend a lot of money on Wayfair because they have all range of items. But I, you know, I'm buying things that look a certain price point and are maybe a little under that price point. I'm really excited to show you guys the kitchen fixtures because they still have a touch of gold, but they're also, they remind me of like an old school. I don't know why or even if that's accurate. And I'm going to leave it at that and see what you think.
Okay. All right.
We know the inspo.
This is going to be our first flip that we go to visit and document on Plans Are Booked.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I feel like we need to do like a photo shoot of us reading whatever book we're reading at that point in time, like bring it with us.
Oh yeah.
And we could do like a little fun fashionista home flip reading. Like, and this is where the Plans Are Booked girls read their books and you can just leave them a little bookmark with our podcast on it in the house. Oh my God, that could be like your David Bromstead thing. Did you ever watch his show, Color Splash? You don't know who he is? He won Design Star one year on HGTV, and they gave him his own show called Color Splash. He's like an unbelievable artist, and he would do a painting that he hung somewhere in the house of every house that he redesigned. And that was his like calling card. He has a different show now. I forget the name of it. But my mom and I would like get home from like grad school or teaching or whatever. And we would watch either Ellen or David Bromstead. I'm not kidding.
Okay, well, maybe we'll take some posed photos in there and we'll have your realtor add them to your listing.
It's more for posterity. It can go like in the same folder as like our Victorian portraits Steph had made.
You don't like a flip house for every reader?
That's pretty good.
I'm just saying. Okay, let's move on to our book of the day. So we are chatting this week about a book that I absolutely loved, capital L loved, called Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Sussman. I found out about this book on the podcast Forever 35, which I've mentioned a few times as introducing me to actually several of the books that we've talked about here. So I hadn't known anything about Alyssa's books or storytelling, and I just loved her in the interview. Like, as a person, I thought she seemed really funny and down to earth and great. And I knew that the premise of this book, Funny You Should Ask, was about a reporter covering a celebrity. Since I like that in real life, I was like, okay, let me give this a whirl. So I took this book on a flight to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, my first time going there. We flew with a layover, so I had two flights to read. And all I did during both of those flights was have my head inside this book. I was addicted from the jump. I just felt like the chemistry between the two main characters was off the charts. And I just felt like I could picture it the whole time in a way that doesn't always happen for me when I'm reading. I just felt like I was watching a movie of this while I was reading it. And it felt so real.
Wait, when you say that, you don't actually picture books normally as if it's a movie?
No, sometimes like I am imagining certain parts, but it doesn't feel like crystal clear all the time.
Interesting.
in this one, almost, I don't want to say I read like a script, that's not quite right, but I don't know, it was like clearer in my mind, I guess. And it's about this young woman, Chani. We had a long debate about how her name is pronounced. We think it's Chani. And she gets assigned to cover this like up and coming Hollywood heartthrob. And they wind up spending a bunch of time together, like several consecutive days. And the profile that she winds up writing basically like goes viral and becomes really well known as like a genre almost of reporting. And then we flash way forward in time and they wind up actually reuniting. I think is it 10 years later? 10 years later. I don't want to say more because I want to hear what both of you thought, but I just felt like this was one of those, I couldn't tell if it was just because I was on the plane and I had like unlimited time. And so that's why I was so immersed, or if it really was that it grips you that much, but I wasn't picturing any specific actor. But after I finished it, our friend who met us in Jackson Hole, Erica, said, "Oh, well, you know, that's about Chris Evans, right?" Like inspired by a real life.
That's why I said it to you when we were talking about this book way back, but I didn't explain well enough. And you were like, "What do you mean it's about Chris Evans?"
It's apparently inspired by like a real interaction that Chris Evans had with a reporter and a resulting profile. And I didn't know that when I was reading it. Alyssa Sussman did not say that.
I'm finding this out right now.
Alyssa Sussman didn't say that in the podcast interview that I listened to. So
it could just be speculated.
It could totally be speculated. But then I was like, oh, because I had finished it just before she said that. And I was like, huh. So then in my mind, I sort of had to rethink if I could imagine him as the person. And I actually think my answer is no.
Agreed.
But anyway, I'd love to hear what you two thought.
For me, I think the reason that I got hooked so easily, one, the writing is fantastic and, you know, short chapters do that for me, but it seems plausible. And as a writer, naturally, I put myself in Johnny's, you know, spot and was imagining, of course, a writer could be writing this piece and have natural chemistry with the subject and, you know, romance sort of ensues type thing. Like, it's not, you know, out there. So I loved that.
Well, I'm a firm believer in may all your Delulu become Trululu. And when I had my Friday Night Lights podcast, I had a moment where I was like, oh, Jesse Plemons and I are just going to like date and that's going to be a thing. And back then people were like, one, who's Jesse Plemons? And two, they were like, isn't that the guy that they call like Meth Damon? Have you seen this? Have you seen this meme? Oh my God. So instead of Matt Damon, they post this picture of Jesse Plemons from when he's like 16 years old and call it Meth Damon. Cause they're like, it looks like if Matt Damon, that's a thing that happened to him. Yeah. But you know what? He got Kiki Dunst. So everybody can S-U-C-K it. But anyways, he's like adorable and totally boyfriend material. And I had him on my podcast a couple times. And then I met him in real life and we had a whole conversation and he has a Town Van Zandt tattoo on one of his fingers. And I was just like, I'm in love with you and we're going to date. And I hope he hears this. Honestly, I hope somehow this podcast makes it to him and he's going to be like, I remember that girl. But anyway, I was reading this and I knew how much Molly and Steph have been pushing this book on me for months. And I finally read it and I really liked it. And I don't know why. What?
It's the Now and Then trilogy.
Now and Then, which is okay. Love triangles are my number one, but like number one and a half is Now and Then romances for me. And I really, really liked it. And I really liked that the chapters were split up by different articles and blog posts that Chani had written or other people had written about Gabe, the main character, the movie star. And I am a sucker for a sidekick, and Oliver, aka Ollie, is like a great sidekick. He's Gabe's like acting best friend. And he's gay and he's kind of like been through it in Hollywood. Like, he didn't come out right away and he just pops up at all of the right times. And there's a character in Steph's book that I feel is like very similar. And so I was like having this moment of like, oh my gosh, he's like one of my favorites in Steph's book. And this guy, Oliver, is like, you know, like so like not similar in personality, but similar in like the role they play in their straight best friends' lives.
Which also just comes back to, was it last week's episode when you said you're so much more in love with side characters now than the main characters?
Yeah, I love them. So anyways, Oliver was great. I want Alyssa Sussman to write an entire book just about Oliver and him meeting his husband like on Halloween, because they have like the big meet cute where they're both dressed as Xena the Warrior Princess. If that doesn't make you read the book, I don't know what does. But it just has like all these great moments. And Gabe, the movie star, buys his mom and sister a bookstore to run that has like a cafe in it. It's called Cozy and it's in Montana. And it's just like, it's just such a delightful book. And there's ups and downs because it's a now and then story, but like you're really rooting for them. And there's, I don't know, you're just really rooting for them. And I really needed a book like that. And so if you are like in a boredom buster situation or like a slump book situation, like this would be a really good one to read, I think. And then also, I just have to say that there were moments where I was like, is this Chani or is this Molly Galler? Because she gets called a Jewish siren at one point, and I was like, this is amazing. I was like, I'm calling Molly Galler this for the rest of our lives. That's one. Molly is like flustered. And then the other thing is, she's like this, like she's really into writing and like she does like gossipy stuff, but then she does like really like heartfelt, thoughtful stuff. And Molly had a blog for like 15 years and was like so diligent about it. And like she did all these restaurant posts and travel posts, and I still use it and send it to people when they're like,
still exists.
Yes. Pop Bop Shop. I still send it to people and use it myself, like when I go on trips, please. Like people are like, this is like a catalog of information about these different cities. And I'm like, I know. So anyways, I just had this moment where I was like, Chani, Molly, Molly, Chani.
Such a high compliment that I was really not expecting. First of all, no one has ever called me a siren in my whole life. So even if that only just happened right now at this table, that's memorable.
I'm just saying, I just had all these moments where I was like, this could be Molly's like alter ego, bestie, sister. Like this is like, I was just like Chani Molly. I don't know. I just had this interchange of like Molly Chani. And then the thing about Chris Evans is weird to me. I did not see that coming or picture that at all. But I think that's because Chris Evans is like from Massachusetts and his dad's a dentist. And like he grew up in a yuppie town and not Montana with a dad that, well, I'm not going to give anything away. But anyway, so, but I will say that I, at the beginning of the book, really imagined Gabe as Kevin from This Is Us, which I can't think of his real name.
Justin Hartley.
Justin Hartley. I pictured him that way. But then the more I thought about it and the further I got in the book, I was like, well, in the then section, they're supposed to be 26 and Justin Hartley does not look 26 at all. And it's hard to imagine him as 26. Kind of like in a George Clooney way where it's like, were you ever young? I don't know. And then
it was, because did you ever watch Passions?
No, I did not. I know what it is, though. He was on that.
Sure was.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, well, anyways, that's for another day. But so then when the 10 years later happens and they're supposed to be 36, I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't really work. So I'm not sure who I, but somebody that kind of has that build and that look, like chiseled but rugged, could rock a beard, doesn't have a beard sometimes, wears flannel, but it's like super tight flannel. You know what I mean? Like, a slim fit flannel, if you will, might be handy, but also might be a disaster. Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of.
Yeah. I wish I could think of who I want it to be.
I'm coming up empty.
But I will say, in their time apart, a lot of shit goes down. That's like very real. I was rereading my Goodreads review earlier today, and I talked about how both of the characters felt very real and honest. And as you jump back and forth in time, you learn about all the things that happened in the time that they were apart. And there's like really difficult things. There's marriage and divorce. There's substance abuse. There's all kinds of stuff. And I love that she didn't overly romanticize it to the point where it was like, and then ta-da, they just like bumped into each other again and everything was great. I liked that it took them each being like, am I even willing to like go there again with this person? Am I willing to let them know all the things that I've been through since we last spent any real time together? And as I often say on this podcast, when we get to the end of these stories and it seems like they're not going to get together, I start to go postal. And there was a moment towards the end of this book where I was like, this is really fucking going to happen. Like, it's not going to, like, I'm going to be left in an unhappy way.
Here's the thing, though. When there is that moment of reluctance in this book, I was kind of like, well, that makes sense. Like, it was so realistic in that way. That
Which
when
I
there,
appreciate.
Yeah, when there was the moment of pause where you were like, oh, they kind of went for it and now they're like pulling back on that. And it was like, I totally understood why the character that becomes reluctant does. And I was like, they're probably like being smart and I just want them to leave.
I think this is, I don't know what you call this like subgenre of romance books, but like Tia Williams does it too, where it's like so rooted in realistic aspects that it like sits differently with me than like the lighter stuff where it's just like, this is so unrealistic. This would never happen in real life. These things could happen in real life. And it's not just light and fluffy. There are traumas going on. And I think that's why they sit within me longer. And I feel stronger about them. I really want you to read her second book because it has the same feel.
Both have read it already?
Yes.
It's called One More Time with Feeling.
Oh, that's a great Regina Spektor song. Do I have it?
I think so. It's a blue cover. Blue, purple, maybe?
It's blue.
It's also Now and Then. And it's about teen pop stars, one who was sort of like a Britney Spears type singer, and then one who was in a boy band, very like NSYNC-esque.
Called Crush Zone.
And, you know, in the past, they were theater camp kids who were just sort of like striving for that dream and then made it. And then in the present, they are not doing well. You know, one is off Broadway and one is struggling to sort of make ends meet. And so that also has the like realistic aspect because, you know, it's not likely to hit the billboards and continue for another 10, 20 years. I'm coming around to not linear timelines when they're done like this, because there's just so much. That one especially, you have the aspect of being a teenager and all that stuff, like first love and unknowns and first times, which this one, funny you should ask, is not, because they're in their 20s when it starts. I don't know. I just love Alyssa Sussman's writing.
I need to share that she has another book coming out.
Yes.
September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Called
Kyle Chandler's birthday. My half birthday. Oh,
called Totally and Completely Fine. And speaking of side characters, it's about Gabe's sister, Lauren.
Lauren? Oh, God, but I wanted an Oliver book.
Maybe that's nice.
But she seemed nice. There wasn't a lot with her, though. Except that she might.
That looks love triangle to me.
Oh, I'm not going to give anything away. I'm not going to do it.
You'll be hearing more about Alyssa Sussman, I think, as the year rolls on. But yeah, I think also,
she's just such a good writer.
That's what I was just going to say. I feel like there are so many different kinds of romance books, and some of them really are just like the bodice ripper type. And this is so well written. It's funny. It's smart. It's honest. It's realistic. It doesn't feel like saccharine and hallmarky. It's very like, this could have happened. To your point, this could have happened.
Yeah.
And I think that made it feel more enjoyable because you didn't have to suspend reality to believe that these people could be actually having this experience.
I think to anyone listening, if you see the cover, though, you might think it's saccharine, just the bubble pink, you know, the like Valentine red. It's deceptive in that way. I don't know. I have trouble with covers.
I do too. But I am glad that we've pivoted from the like clutching and grasping and shirtless and Fabio.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think
that wouldn't have worked anyways with this.
No, not with this one, but with a lot of them, they tried.
Yeah, I think this is, if you are listening to this and you are someone who is just like, I'm definitely not a romance person, try this book and see what you think. It's in a different kind of category that I think is more accessible and more
fun. It's funny. And if you're somebody that likes movies and premieres and gossip and all of that stuff, like, you're going to really like it.
Agreed. Let's tell the people what we're reading now.
I just finished late last night because I couldn't stop. I just read Local Woman Missing by Mary Kubica. Is that how we pronounce her name?
I think that's how you say it. Yep.
This is actually the second book of hers that I've read. The other one I read is, I think it's called The Good Girls or The Good Girl. The Good Girl. This book, I think I picked it up because I just assumed it was a murdery book. And in some sense, it is a murdery book. But I was telling Molly earlier that it reads a little like Big Little Lies in that it takes place in this one neighborhood.
I'm already in.
No, we both just nodded like we like that comparison.
It's not funny.
Which is kind of how the other one sounded. The House in the Pines one. That's on a Big Little Lies-ish too.
That was like a darker feel.
Darker. Okay.
This one. So the premise is that it's this suburb of Chicago where a young mother goes out running and disappears. And then like a week or two later, another mother and her daughter both disappear. So I went into it thinking this is going to be like a serial killer type book, and it's not about that at all. It's obviously, it is about discovering what happened to those three people, but it's more about this one neighbor and the son in the family where the mom and daughter disappeared, what his life is like now 10 years later. So it's over the course of 11 years. It's past and present. In the past, it starts off with the first woman who goes missing. It's about her the night that she disappears. And then it's from the perspective of the mother who disappears with her daughter leading up to her disappearance. And then it's this neighbor who lives next door and her watching after they've both disappeared, watching the neighborhood sort of fall apart and media circus descend upon the neighborhood. And it's more about like the relationships between, you know, like the girls who my daughter wants to play with this daughter, but the other daughter doesn't want to be friends with them. And it's more about that sort of stuff. The inner lives of like a neighborhood. It's quick chapters. It wasn't as murdery and dark as the previous book that I was reading. I really loved it and I read it in, I think, 3 days. So if anyone wants like a little bit lighter on the murdery side, and I didn't actually figure out the ending, which is like a rare thing for me.
That never happens. I feel like you always pre-predict by like page 30.
I was convinced a third of the way in that I had figured it out, and I got stronger and stronger thinking that I had figured it out until something happened and I was like, whoa, she just pulled the rug out from underneath me.
Okay. Okay. I know that I gave you this book, but I don't know if you've read it yet, but the one by Ashley Flowers, All Good People Here.
I do have that.
You should, if that's the vibe that you're feeling right now, that's the next one you should do, because I thought I had that one figured out and I didn't.
Okay.
And it's like, it's one of those books where setting kind of is like an additional character, and it's, mm-hmm. it's very good. I really liked it. And my brother recommended that one to me, and he is kind of picky about his mysteries. And so I trusted him and I was right to do that because it was good. So move that up your pile.
Okay.
I cruised through a book, speaking of my brother, I cruised through a book in 2 days.
That's what you said.
Called She Rides Shotgun by Jordan Harper. And Zeebo, who gave us the name for this podcast, is my brother's best friend. And he and my brother both are huge Jordan Harper fans. And I read Jordan Harper's newer book called Everybody Knows recently. And that one's about a Hollywood agent who has a lot of secrets, and he shows up murdered. And there's like a firm that their entire job is like cleaning up Hollywood messes and making sure the press doesn't get a hold of, you know, Justin Bieber with like cocaine powder on his nose kind of thing. And this firm, like, the person has like a Jerry Maguire moment and is literally like, I'm actually going to do the right thing. And this is the person that's going to be like my pariah. And so that one was really good. And so I saw this one in the store with you, Steph. And I hadn't been able to find it in any stores. I was like almost going to get it from Amazon. And I read it in 2 days. The premise is this guy gets out of jail. He has gotten himself into a little bit of mischief with a pretty large white supremacist group that has like chapters all over California. And the day that he gets out of prison, he basically goes and finds his 11-year-old daughter at her school and is basically like, I know we haven't seen each other in 6 years, but get in the car and I'll explain later. And they start driving all over California and they're basically on the lam because there's like a green light on his daughter, her life, on like just killing her and her mom. And this isn't like giving anything away, but he finds the mom first and she's already dead. So he's like, okay, this is bad. And so he goes and gets her. And then they like basically become partners in crime, literally. And they like devise a plan on how they're going to like get the green light lifted. It is fast paced. It's fascinating. The whole thing is told in the third person, but the chapters are all focused on a different character. And it even includes this guy, Detective Park, who is like trying to find the girl because she's considered kidnapped. And like on the outside, it looks like this guy got this bad seed, got out of jail and like kidnapped his daughter. And then his wife ends up being dead and it doesn't look good for him. And that's like totally not what's going on. And so then you see other people's perspective on the same story. And then you also see the perspective of like the daughter getting to know her dad under this like really bizarre circumstance and how she deals with it and is like simultaneously grieving her mom. And it's really good. It really packs a punch. It's really good. I think we should do an episode about it. Because I would like to hear what you think of it. And I haven't figured out what my next read is going to be yet. I haven't narrowed down to two.
You had me at written by the same author as The Bold Type.
Okay, so I have this book called Most Likely, and Sarah Watson, who created the TV show The Bold Type, wrote it. And I haven't read any press about it, but my school's library had it as like a newer book. And it's basically, it follows four girls who are best friends. And from the get-go, you know that one of them is like the future first female president of the United States, but you don't know until the end which one it is. And they all have different interests and they're all like successful in different ways. And so that one sounds really interesting. And then the other one is a book called Hollow Fires by Samira Ahmed. And this one is about like a budding journalist in high school, and she investigates this boy when he's 14. His name's Jawad Ali. He builds a cosplay jetpack that his teacher thinks is a bomb. And so he gets like racially profiled and all this like bad stuff, and he gets arrested, and then he gets labeled as a terrorist and all this other stuff. And so basically this other girl, who I believe she's another Muslim character, I think. Her name's Safiya Mirza. She basically takes on this high school project of like explaining everything that's happened to him and like profiling him in a way that like brings attention to what we tend to do in these United States. So that one's like a YA. They're both YA. I'm going to do one of them first. I don't know which one yet, though. But Steph already voted for one, so. Mall?
I mean, I feel like you have to go with the one by the writer of the bold type.
Okay. All right. All right. And we solved that one.
I also was in YA land this week. I finished 20 minutes before we recorded this podcast, A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson.
That's going to be our next episode.
So I'm not going to say too much because we are going to talk about it in our next ep, but I will say I didn't know anything about this going in. I went totally blind just on the recommendation from these two gals. And there's a lot of interesting formatting in the way the book is written, because sometimes she's transcribing conversations with people. Sometimes she's doing sort of journal-like entries about progress towards this project she's doing. I think for the first half, I was like, okay, like, I'm not quite sure where this is going. I'm not sure if I'm like totally in. And then the back third of the book, I like couldn't put it down. I had to know what was going to happen. There were all kinds of new twists and turns. I'll leave it there because we are going to deep dive more. But I need to say that the main character's name is Pippa, but she goes by Pip. Great Expectations is one of my favorite books of all time. I was like, oh, I already like this because her name is Pip. We'll talk about it more next week. But if you are interested in reading along with us and you can get your hands on a copy, you will have 7 days to catch up.
I bought the second book as well in that series, which I forget what it's called. And then Holly Jackson had another book come out this week. So I believe April 1st, she had another book come out, which is not part of the series, but it's about another like budding investigative journalist type person. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like the person is trying to figure out something that's happened in their family. And they're being followed by like a podcasting crew in the midst of them trying to like figure it out. So intriguing. That's like a different angle.
Yeah, for sure. If you guys want to follow along with all the books we chatted about this episode and things upcoming, give us a follow over on Instagram at plansarebooked. You can also write to us, plansarebooked@gmail.com. Share your thoughts or books that you'd like for us to chat through. We love to hear from you.
And until next time, our plans are booked.